Is Susan Hawk, you all know her, and, well, I was going to say love her from Survivor, but some people had different feelings about the young lady on Survivor. How are you?
Hey, I've been doing great.
You were one of the most vilified people in the country at one point.
It's hard to say. Some places I was, some places I wasn't. Well, actually, my ratings went up in like 47 states after that.
I think that speech that you made is something that all of us who ever watched Survivor will always remember.
That cemented that shell in the ground for sure.
That was amazing.
It did. I think back on it, I was like, God, I opened the show ripping on Richard in the tree. And then I ended the show ripping on him.
Well, I mean, I think that some of the points that you made were quite valid.
They were. They actually were to the point, you know, and like everybody always says, the truth hurts, so...
Did you have any regrets after the speech aired when you saw yourself? Did you say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that? Or
no. Actually, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I was, like, that good after I watched it. I remember doing it, but then, you know, 3.5, 4 months later, to see it for the second time, you know, from the other side, it was like, oh, my God. And then after you listen to the words, I'm like, oh, I hit every nail on the head.
I always thought that, you know, I watched the first season. I watched every show. And I watched most of the second season. I don't watch it anymore, and I've kind of lost interest in it. And I don't. Do you follow it closely still?
Actually, I do, because I correspond for TV Guide Channel.
Ah.
So I actually went on location into Thailand.
Wow.
Is when I started corresponding on for TV Guide Channel, and watched the players play for the first 6 days, which was interesting to sit back. They had no idea I was there. I was like in disguise. Yeah, and I was like, you know, 10 feet away from these people. It was funny. And so I do watch it closely. And it's still interesting to me to see how every group is different as far as alliances and how they stay strong or they get mixed up and people change sides. And it's amazing, because I sit there and then I watch and I'm like, oh my God, like now I think they feed them way too much food. I'm like, every time there's a little, any kind of deal going on with the tribes, it's like, oh, let's have a feast.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because the first time they did it, when you guys were on it, nobody knew what was going to happen, including you folks. You really were pioneers.
Yeah, we
now
had
they
no
kinda,
idea.
They kind of know what's going on now. Tell me about that experiment, the whole time of you know, you were a truck driver at the time.
Yeah.
You came onto this show. You figured you'd do something. What? Now, obviously, the motivation was $1 million, but
yeah.
Was it anything like you pictured it to be?
Not at all. I had no idea how the show would air, and even while we were there, I wasn't even really thinking about airtime. I was just, my idea was, yeah, to win $1 million, because otherwise it wasn't even worth your while, as far as I was concerned. As far as, yeah, how the show was going to turn out, I actually had an attitude toward, because you couldn't talk to the producers or really anybody, you know, during the show. So if you wanted to get a message back to somebody, you just looked at the camera and you told them what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a madman's experiment, because right around day 30, when they feed you the videotape from home, it's about the time you're past the point of being hungry anymore. You've been hungry for so long, you're used to it. And then they feed you that emotional feed that you haven't had in so long, and it's like, oh, my God, what timing these people have.
Yeah, I was thinking about the fact that you guys didn't eat, but there's no better appetite suppressant than having Richard running around naked.
Oh, God, so funny. You know, they made it look like did that all the time. And he did threaten it on his birthday, which is the day they did all that taping.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, like, tried to make it look like he was naked all the time. I thought it was funny myself, because I'm like, you know, I'm same age as Richard, and I've been married and with the same man for, like, 18 years. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to see this strapping 6.5-foot guy naked, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then after it was all said and done, I told Richard, I said, I know why you're still looking for a boyfriend. But I thought it was funny to watch him, how he irritated some of the younger people.
Mm.
It made for a good joke for me that day.
Yeah, he's done pretty well. I mean, he's been involved out here in the Northeast in radio and done a lot of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what did you end up getting for money for that show?
Actually, I don't like to disclose that, but there is a ladder scale. And the longer you're there, the more money you make. Mm. And actually, the last five people make out pretty good.
Yes, that's what I had heard.
Yeah, the last five people, it's like, okay, now it was worth your time.
Mm.
You know, but for me, personally, prior to that, it's like it wouldn't have been worth it.
Yeah. Well, you lasted quite a bit of time. Did you think at one point, hey, you know, this is going to be mine. I'm going to win this thing.
No. You're always second-guessing that. Always second-guessing that. And I knew I knew the only way towards the end when there was only like four of us left, I said, you know, the only way I'm going to win this is if I win immunity all the way to the end.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Now, did you actually make any friends on this show that you're still
Rudy.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Rudy keep in touch quite a bit.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is.
Rudy became symbolic in this country. The older guy, the military kind of guy.
Oh, big-time military kind of guy. Extra 10 years military kind of guy. And then his wife is really nice. And she's actually tougher and has, you know, she's tougher than Rudy.
How'd your husband deal with all this instant fame that you were going through?
He actually was pretty good about it. Of course, he keeps me grounded. And he's just a businessman. So he kind of turned into the manager end of it, which made him feel involved. And it helps me out tremendously because I'm not as good as business as him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's a business manager and keeps his cell phone on and does a lot of, you know, what people need to get a hold of me, they can call him and he'll work things out if I'm not around. And
now, you mentioned that you were married and you were a truck driver. You're not doing that anymore.
No, I'm not, but I did keep I moved from Wisconsin to Vegas 2 years ago.
Oh.
Because we were dying to get out of the cold. It wasn't weird. We almost moved here a couple times over the last 12 years. And then with the financial gain from Survivor, it didn't make it quite as scary for us.
It's interesting. I used to live in Wisconsin myself.
Oh, you know, and every winter I'd get so depressed. You know, February, March, it was like, God, I can't stand it. And the older I got, the worse it got.
I used to teach at Marquette University.
Oh, did you really?
And I used to walk down Wisconsin Avenue and in the... You know, going toward the lake, toward the college.
Oh.
And I have a beard, and I would actually have an icicle about 4 or 5 inches long hanging from my beard.
Oh, the wind.
Every day when I walked into class.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Now, it's not that much better around here in Boston either, in the winters. They're not
no, cold. No, you guys get the heavy wind and cold.
Because we get stuff off the ocean instead of the lake, but it's still, I couldn't stand Wisconsin.
I can't, you know, I was like, you know, I'm the middle kid, so it wasn't hard for me to leave, you know what I mean? It's not like my roots are... I love my family dearly, but, you know, phones do wonders.
Is that Ellie and Stinky here in the back?
Ellie's screaming out the back.
Mm.
And, but I did, when I moved to Vegas, though, I did keep my CDLs on my driver's license.
There you go.
I didn't, I'll probably never, ever drop them. Just in case, but... But everybody asked me, you know, the big question is, was it hard? And I'm like, you know what? Doing Survivor was not hard. I said, you drive truck every day for 8 years, and I'll show you hard.
Yeah, well, it is kind of tough to go hungry into, you know, some of the, I guess, you know, some of the mind games must have been as difficult as well.
It's worse. Actually, the emotional roller coaster is intense because every day is a different day. And in those 39 days, you do like what you usually would do in like 3 years time span in a regular life.
Mm.
As far as your emotions going up and down. And then at the end, you're so hungry and starved, you're almost lethargic, you know what I mean?
Mm.
You don't, your mind thinks, but really slow. And
how much weight did you lose on that show?
Actually, I lost like 17 pounds.
And you were already in good shape when you got on the show.
Yeah, and I put a ton of weight on before I went on. I probably packed on an extra 10 pounds because...
You knew it.
I kind of, yeah. From the way they laid things out, it's like, oh, man, you know, we're gonna starve. So, oh, God, I was eating everything the last 3 weeks.
What did you miss the most in terms of food when you were there?
Cheese pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they didn't have any of that in the island even for any of the rewards.
No, but they had one piece. They gave one piece. Jervis won a reward. And I was close to winning at that reward. There was like the balance beam where we ran across it.
Yeah.
And he got the phone call, and they gave him one slice of pizza. It was. That's what I'm saying. No, number one, they didn't feed us jack.
Hmm.
You know? And then even when, like, and now I see they like sneak food back from where they're at their reward when they have their food.
Right.
You know, they bring food back for the other people. Richard, when he went on the boat with Sean for breakfast, tried to bring some Danishes back for us.
Right.
And he said he'd never seen Jeff Probst so mad in his life. He thought he was going to bite his hand off. He said he was so pissed because he got busted, you know.
Yeah.
Because we actually sent, like, our rice, they would give us our rice in Ziploc bags. So we, like, were pack rats. We'd save every one of these Ziploc bags for what we didn't know. But we were like, here, Richard, take the Ziplocs and bring some food back for us. We're dying.
And he got bagged.
And he could, yeah, and he got bagged.
Mm. Did you ever talk to Jervis at all?
No, I haven't seen Jervis in ages. The only time I, the most time outside of Rudy, talking to people, you know, out on a regular basis, I see these people when I do the red carpet finale for TV Guide.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, like half of the old survivors will show up. And then they'll walk the red carpet, and of course I interview them, and then I see them afterwards at the party.
Right.
But I haven't seen Jervis, oh my God, I haven't seen Jervis in a year and a half, I bet ya.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that you're working for TV Guide Channel and doing some work for them. I assume there's other things. What other kind of things can we see you in? I know one of them is the show Street Smart.
Street Smart. Actually, me and Rudy, my buddy, taped the show Street Smart, went up against each other. And you can see me doing that, and that was a whole lot of fun. I couldn't stop laughing.
That's going to air tomorrow.
It's airing tomorrow.
Syndication, so.
Yeah, it's in syndication, so depending on where you're at, I know it's out here in Vegas tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, check your local listings, as they say.
Yeah.
How did you folks do in your round of Street Smarts?
Actually, we didn't do it too bad. The first round I aced. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe how dumb these people are that they put on. But I made some decent money for my charity.
Yeah. And, what was the charity you played for?
Actually, the Wisconsin Rough Grouse Society.
Oh.
Which they're actually tied in with the National Rough Grouse Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they rehabilitate land for the grouse to have habitat, which is a good thing, because if the grouse have habitat, then a lot of other animals have habitat along with them.
Right.
And the big thing, and the reason I do Wisconsin is the money stays in, like, pretty much along the Mississippi. It stays in Wisconsin, and then they do over into Minnesota.
Yeah, do you miss Wisconsin?
I miss, like, the landscape and the green and
the
trees.
People are nice, too.
And the people, yeah, the people are nice. Oh, definitely. I don't miss the taxes.
Hmm. You know what was interesting about Milwaukee, which is, of course, where I lived being at Marquette, was the fact that the bars were open like at 7 in the morning, and there'd be people there, and the beers, when I was there, there was this place called the Circle Inn, and the beers and the hot dogs were a nickel apiece on Sundays.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, for $2, it was Waste City.
Oh, you go, we are so big on our beer.
It's amazing.
Beer and brats.
Well, we used to go and do, you know, tours of the Miller Brewery on a weekly basis.
Oh, it's because you get free beer afterwards.
You get free beer afterwards in the little bar they have there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's still a big deal.
That's one of the great perks of living in Milwaukee.
Oh, there's lots of beer available, no doubt.
They used to actually smell like beer in the air sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you go down by where the brewers are at.
Yeah.
It is. I actually did a lot of my trucking in Milwaukee was right around. I would go by the brewery every day.
Hmm.
I would, and I'd see all the people going in for their tours or sitting out on the tables drinking their beers.
You got a chance to do a few sitcoms, didn't you? Did you guys do something?
Yeah, actually, I did. Oh, my God, my resume is so long. I did. NBC had a show for a while with Delta Burke and David Alan Greer. Oh, called Dag.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I played a drill sergeant in it. And it was funny. You'd actually have to know that was me doing it because you wouldn't recognize me.
Huh.
You know, and then, God, I did, what other sitcoms? I did a movie with Walt Disney movie called Bubble Boy. And I played a redneck waitress in it. And when we initially taped the scene, it was out of control. It was wild. We literally were like a little redneck town in our restaurant. And this kid comes in, and he's got the bubble, and we all freak out. So we go running out of the restaurant, and we lock him in it. And then we firebombed the restaurant, you know, our only restaurant. But then when the movie played out, they literally changed the whole scene because it was too violent.
Right.
So instead of us firebombing it, when we ran out, they had a lantern fall. So, like, my big one line, which was outside, got cut. You know?
Who was in that movie with you?
Oh, I can't remember the kid's name that played Bubble Boy. The movie was funny. I mean, it was slapstick funny.
Yeah.
And the kid did a good job because the bubble was really heavy and crazy. And I mean, they had him mud wrestling with some girls at one point, and they actually had real circus freaks in it. You know, people would thought maybe these people had makeup on, but these are really... I wasn't in that scene, but they were telling me about it.
So have you seen the movie?
Yeah. It's actually, the movie went in the movie theaters, played for a little while, and then, of course, it hit video.
Yeah.
And I think it's doing pretty good on video because I get residual checks off of it.
There you go. Well, now folks will go down and check that out, Bubble Boy, in the movie.
Yeah, Bubble Boy.
Go rent it, and you can watch Susan play a redneck waitress.
Yeah.
Anything else we can see you in coming up besides Street Smarts?
Street Smarts and the TV Guide review every week on TV Guide channel. I got a couple things in the making, but they're like a little ways down the road.
Hmm.
So I always hate saying anything until it's for
sure. Yeah, you don't want to jinx it, right?
Oh, yeah. TV's funny, man. It can get canceled, you know, 3 days before.
That's true. I have so many people here pumping their pilots, and the pilots get lost, and they're gone for good.
Yeah, only like 2% of the pilots actually, like, make it through.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, TV is definitely tough. So I'm happy with being a correspondent for TV Guide Channel, because I absolutely still love Survivor. And I find these people interesting. And I'm always watching, I'm like, are you acting, or what are you doing there, and are you trying to play up to the camera? You see a lot more of that on it, which I think took away the fun out of it.
Now, Susan, have you seen the SusanHawk.com site?
No, I haven't.
Hmm. Don't look at it.
Oh, they're ripping on me?
Oh my.
I'm actually all for laughing at myself.
Yeah, no, this stuff's like really vicious. It shouldn't even be on the internet. It's disgusting.
You know what? When people do that, they're just jealous.
Well, they're losers. None of them put their name on. They don't have their name and address on there. You know, they're just losers. And
no.
That's why I wouldn't even... I'm not going to put a link up to the site. Usually I do that, but it's not going to do you any good.
No. Yeah, those people are just losers. And actually, I'm like, my God, how much time do you have on your hands? Get a life.
Yeah, some of them are really long and just really litanous of swears. I mean, there's nothing to it at all.
It's
horrid.
You know, and the whole thing with that thing with ripping on Kelly, it's like, you know what? She had it coming. And to this day, she can't really... That was a big farce afterwards where CBS is like, you guys made up and all that now.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a farce because Kelly... I've tried on occasions, two occasions, to shake her hand. She has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
She can't even stand to look at me. When she walks into a room with me, she'll walk the whole perimeter around me to stay away from me. And I'm like, you know what? Guess what? I'm winning, kiddo. She was just a little spoiled brat that got her ass whipped. They needed it and never had it whipped, you know?
Colleen actually ended up in a nice little movie.
Yeah.
That she did. That was really kind of cute.
Yeah, it was. Actually, and the kid that did it, well, I forget his name. But, he seen her when she was co-hosting Regis and fell in love with her. He never watched Survivor, and he's like, oh, I would love to have her be my girlfriend on the movie.
So she was, like, cute, you know?
Yeah. She really cute. Is, and she's really that sweet, too.
And Jenna seemed kind of nice, too. But
Yeah, Jenna is, but she's, like, super hyper flake. You know, she can wear on your nerves real quick.
I would think that a lot of people wore in people's nerves there. I mean, you know, this is the situation.
You
know.
You did.
Yeah.
You just would walk away.
Well, you know, Richard came away as the king, and he was the man that set the stage for how to play that game.
Oh, yeah, we did. Actually, me and Kelly had an alliance before he even approached us.
Really?
Yeah. Like, day two, me and Kelly said, you know what, let's not, we won't ever vote against each other. I'm like, I'm on.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
But Susan Hawk, you can see her tomorrow on Street Smarts. It's syndicated. Check it out. It's a great show. I really
you gotta watch it.
Watch how stupid people are in this country.
Me with Rudy. I wasn't nice to Rudy. I mean, I love Rudy dearly, but I was like out to win.
Of course.
So it was good.
And your charity did all right from it.
Yeah.
Susan Hawk, thanks so much for coming on PNP Network.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.